Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
A trial going on right now against Tesla. It began on Monday in Miami, and a jury is going to decide who is to blame for the death of a student after a runaway Tesla sent her flying and severely injured her boyfriend. It was a tragic case, and we are going to be seeing more and more of these cases with self-driving automobiles on the market. And the question is, who gets a ticket? Who's liable for these accidents? And is the law sufficiently caught up with the technology in this country? And with us to discuss these issues is someone very uniquely situated to talk about it, Craig Squillis. He's a partner of Chicago's premier injury firm, Clifford Law. Clifford Law Offices is ranked as one of the top firms in the nation. News and World Report list as one of the best law firms. It's represented victims and families in nearly every commercial airline crash in the last 40 years. And Craig heads up the firm's vehicular accident cases. He's won record-breaking jury verdicts and obtained hundreds of millions of dollars in settlements. Craig, thank you so much for joining us here on WGN. How are you today?
Good, Karen. Thank you for having me.
I first have to ask you what your favorite ice cream flavor is.
Strawberry.
Got it.
Strawberry.
Okay.
Ice cream.
Don't agree, but I will allow that answer. Craig,
fair enough.
Tell us, although I think I could have some right now, actually. Craig, tell us what's going on with this lawsuit in Miami. To the best of your knowledge from the media reports, what are the allegations against Tesla?
So it's thank you, Karen. It's a very interesting case that's being brought down in federal court in Florida. So the allegations are in April of 2019, a gentleman was operating his 2019 Model S Tesla, and he was approaching a T intersection. He had at that point engaged the safety feature, what is called an autopilot feature with the Tesla. And what this allows the vehicle to do is have some control over steering, braking, as well as lane controlling, to keeping the vehicle within its lane. Also about, as he's approaching the T-intersection, he's got the cruise control enabled, which is another safety feature. At some point, as he's getting towards this stop sign, which is visible as well as a blinking red light that's above the stop sign, he drops his phone and the vehicle flies through the stop sign and makes contact with the parked vehicle behind the T intersection, and like you said, kills a very nice young lady and injures her boyfriend. The allegations brought by the family as well as the injured boyfriend is that the autopilot system did not work as it was supposed to, but more importantly, that it had been billed as a safety feature far greater in capacity than what it can do. Tesla takes an opposite approach and says that really what it comes down to isn't the autopilot system. It failed in any way. It's that the driver of the vehicle was not paying attention, was not being attentive, and when he dropped his phone, he took his eyes off the road when he shouldn't have.
So this is very interesting. And my understanding, Craig, is that the driver settled with the two families because it probably was the limits of liability and his insurance company paid out, right? So this lawsuit
That's
is not,
my understanding.
Not against the driver anymore. Those funds have been settled. So we're going to take a break in a little bit, but just if you can very quickly tell us, for those who are not technologically knowledgeable about these different types of cars, there's different gradations of drive self-driving. Is that fair to say? Can you just give us a quick 101 primer on it?
I can. There are six different levels of self-driving. Level zero is that the driver, anyone who's driving a vehicle, is completely and 100% responsible for driving the vehicle. Level five, which is the last level, is this completely driverless individual. There is no steering wheel. There is no pedals. The vehicle, in fact, is doing all of the input. Most vehicles on the roadway fall between a level zero, a level one, and a level two, where they have some assistance in driving, where the vehicle does take over. And we see that a lot of times, for example, with parking, lane maneuvering, where a vehicle will push our vehicle back to the lane so it doesn't go out, levels of cruise control that exist. Those are some of the features that you see in these vehicles now that have more of a vehicle taking control over the driver input.
And, you know, it's not going to be long before we have, you know, the vast majority of vehicles out there probably self-driving. So this conversation is not for naught. We're going toward that reality, and so the law is going to need to catch up. And when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit about how the law needs to change or how the law gets applied in cases like this. Chicago attorney Craig Squillis, we're talking about self-driving automobiles. I was listening to the ad for Cars for Kids, which, you know, some people really get annoyed by that. Some people love that ad. But I'm thinking at some point that Cars for Kids, you can just send the car back to them without even getting it. Anyway,
right.
Everything is going to change. So I think maybe what we should do, Craig, is to start with, what is your liability as a driver? What does the law provide that you have to do? And if you don't do that, how are you liable? If you can just give us that kind of car liability 101.
Real simple, you have a duty as a driver to maintain a proper lookout and to maintain the control of your vehicle. Follow the rules of the road and real simple, to avoid putting yourself into predicaments where you can cause bodily harm to people.
Okay, so then you are in a car, and now this car has some semblance of self-driving, you know, whether it's, you know, number five, so it's almost all self-driving or just parts of it. And let's just say that the system malfunctions and you get into a crash. Tell me who is liable, who gets to sue whom, and how is this going to work going down the line?
Well, I think what you're going to have to do, where the analysis is both going to be on the driver of the vehicle as well as the manufacturer of the automobile. First, and most, if not all, of these safety features where we have these driverless portions that are being used, they still have a requirement that the driver be attentive, even having their hands on the wheel. So there is an interaction that the driver needs to have with the vehicle. Now, if there is an allegation that while they're using, for example, an autopilot system and the vehicle was supposed to stop and it didn't, then the analysis goes to whether or not the system that was being used at that time was defective. And if so, that could expose not only the manufacturer of the vehicle to liability, but the company that may have done or may have created the software that was put in the vehicle at the time. So I think you need to look at all people involved to determine who may have liability in that scenario.
And I would imagine that as a driver, you could probably bring those lawsuits yourself. If your car crashes into someone else, certainly that other party can sue, but, you know, you might be able to argue, hey, I bought this car. There were representations made that it was going to break for stop signs and the like. And if it didn't, then your injuries and your liability could be, you could pass it off on the Tesla company, I would imagine.
Certainly, I think that would be an argument that almost like a lemon law discussion, that the vehicle that I bought wasn't what I got. And that's a lot of some of the critics over this autopilot system are suggesting that there has been a very verbose discussion about what this vehicle can do or what they believe they can do. And the actuality, it is limited in these safety features that exist. So you're right, Karen. I think that could be an area of liability, another area of liability that a manufacturer will have to face.
And I just think, it might be a slippery slope. I was just in a car in California with a friend of mine who has a Tesla that is, you know, almost completely self-driving, although it does make you, it makes you put your hands on the steering wheel. And if you don't and you do it several times, it actually disables the car at some point. So it does encourage you strenuously to keep your hands on the steering wheel. So at what point is there an argument that, hey, I bought this car, I got into a situation where I just wasn't used to hitting the brakes, I wasn't used to moving lanes, I wasn't used to turning on my signal, and this kind of brought me into a sense of safety that I shouldn't have had? Is there some argument that these cars are creating drivers who may be just not paying attention?
There they are, and that's in fact part of the lawsuit. Some of the allegations in the Florida case is that Tesla, for example, because we just brought this up, in fact is putting videos. There's a video in 2016 where they have the vehicle driving around and claim on the website that the person is just sitting there. He's not even controlling the car. So they're giving a false illusion, even by the name autopilot, that the vehicle is doing the driving, in that the driver, in fact, doesn't have to, or he can be less attentive to his surroundings, which is completely not what that is intended to do. Drivers under these scenarios are still required to keep their hands on the wheel, be attentive, and more importantly, be there in case the vehicle does malfunction, that they can step in and avoid what happened down in Florida.
And do you think this case, Craig, is going to set a precedent in some way, one way or the other? Are you as an accident lawyer looking at this saying, well, if the jury comes back and hits Tesla up for multi-$1 million, this is going to set a precedent that Tesla is going to be liable in the future for these types of things?
Not only that, but I think it may spur some of the states and maybe even the federal government to create some better regulations on how these vehicles are to be used and how these safety features are actually being tested. There's a lot of criticism that exists over this about whether or not we're getting the proper data and whether the federal government and state government are actually regulating these types of vehicles in a way that is going to help the safety of the people on the roadway. So I do believe that, you know, verdicts that go adversely against companies sometimes can bring positive change.
I absolutely believe that. I have said that over and over again. And, you know, there have been class actions like Brown versus Board of Education, which has changed, education for the better, and all of the Ralph Nader issues. You know, all of those things have resulted in a better society. And I think you're right about that. And one of the things that I did look at when I was researching this topic is that a lot of the governments, the local governments, will require Tesla to keep track of when things malfunction, of how many accidents there are with these self-driving cars. And I think it's important to know exactly how safe they really are. And by some accounts, they seem to be safer than your average person driving. I don't know if that's across the board or you know that statistic.
That's something, and that's actually an interesting point, because that's one of the topics that's been brought up in the trial in Florida about whether or not there has been accurate reporting about crashes and whether or not even Tesla kept that data. So I think that topic is something that we're going to learn more about through this trial and more investigation, unfortunately, with cases like this. Now, Tesla has taken the position that the reporting of crashes and the reporting of failures with their safety system is somehow singling them out, which I think is completely untrue. It's, if we're going to provide these vehicles and these safety features to the people and tout them as safe as they are, they should be then held to that standard.
Illinois doesn't have self-driving cars, laws allowing the self-driving cars. They're probably on the far end of that. Do you know if Illinois has any intention of changing that and allowing more self-driving autos on the road?
There's at least one to two bills that are still in committee that are addressing this issue. There is an executive order that Governor Rauner did back in, I think it was 2017 or 2018, which had the Illinois Department of Transportation start looking into researching, testing, to gain data to see how we can incorporate this. And there was a House bill, and I think it was House Bill 791, which just basically said that this, that local government couldn't stop these types of vehicles from being on the roadway, and that's it's giving the power back to the state. But as of right now, there has been no law that has been passed that regulates these types of vehicles at this time.
Craig Squillis, thank you so much from Clifford Law Offices. How would someone get in touch with you, Craig?
If they want to call us, they can call us at our number at 312-899-9090. Our website is www.cliffordlaw.com, and my email is on there. It's cjs@cliffordlaw.com.